Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com. The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here on Herb Talk, it's all about empowerment. Magical engineer, Frank. He's ready. I'm ready. We got a great show. Thanks for joining us here on American Voice Radio Network, WWCR and other networks. We're going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, message framing. Do you know what that is, Frank? Message framing. Well, we're going to get into that, and we got a quack report. But before we do, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform, hitting the knees, seeking the Lord's face, mind the time, it grows short. First devotional, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, if you want that, you got to get into the scripture, know the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only way to God the Father. So mind the time, it grows short if you haven't done that. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, thanks, Frank. Oh, first up in the quacker, blood transfusions from COVID-vaccinated people seem to be contaminating and carrying health risks, according to Japanese researchers. So the team of Japanese researchers were analyzing blood transfusions taken from individuals who were previously inoculated with the COVID-19 serum. The researchers found that experimental COVID-19 serums destroy the continuity of the biochemistry of the human blood in six key areas. The vaccine damage is so significant. The contaminated blood can further damage unvaccinated and even vaccinated people who do receive the blood transfusion or an organ transplant from someone who did get vaccinated. Researchers are publishing this preprint paper on their findings and make suggestions for specific testing methods to help regulate and help deal with this risk. So people know. All right, last but not least in the quack report, Canada is rolling out social credit system. Citizens' bank accounts will be linked to these credit scores. So our neighbors to the north are implementing the system called Open Banking that will link citizen bank accounts to a new social credit scoring system. This banking system will make it much harder for citizens to express any voice against political corruption. The World Bank partner called Open Banking Excellence, which originated in the United Kingdom, is boasting right now that it will incorporate social credit scores with people's banking information in Canada. So Canadians and others around the world to maintain high social credit scores so they can buy and sell and trade. Open Banking Excellence already operates in 40 different countries, claiming that it aims to, quote, create exceptional platforms and content that promotes knowledgeable sharing, new thinking, and partnerships within the industry, catalyzing an adoption for open finance and data for better financial inclusion worldwide. Yeah, there's no easier way to control the masses than to control their access to their money. Yeah, beware. What's north may come here. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. All right, so we're going to be talking about message framing. It's going to be including virtual versus video media. And this is going to be important. So if you are new to the term message framing, it refers to how a message is framed and delivered to the masses. Now, in March 2024, Penn State researched which delivery method was better to communicate climate change issues. So in the last 100 years, a lot of psychology has gone into marketing research, and marketing can manipulate, deceive, use half-truths, and even evoke certain responses from its target audience. Now, in many instances, it is not, it's kind of propagandizing their target, if you think about it. Now, the Oxford Dictionary says this: it is a persuasive mass communication that filters and frames the issues in a way that strongly favors a particular interest. Well, let's look at this research from Penn State. They compared virtual reality to video messaging and measured which would evoke fear with regard to climate change. Now, fear is a strong motivator. And if you want people to listen to you, often fear is the ingredient that is used. Now, an example was the fear of the supposedly unknown COVID virus. This tactic worked very well to restrain millions of people to obey the global agenda. Here's a quote from Penn State. They say, virtual reality may prove a better choice in evoking fear to spur on climate change action. So the research team used different messages in both messaging methods, video and virtual reality. They were depicting climate change to motivate people to support that agenda, such as they were showing expanding deserts, you know, and also dying coral reefs, you know, the coral reefs under the water. Now, according to their report, the virtual reality method delivered a better impact and are offering this research result to advocacy groups. So the research did get published in the March 2024 journal Science Communication, and the researchers used a desktop virtual reality that easily ran on Google Earth, a computer, or a mobile device. So they clearly confirmed the messages that convey fear were the most powerful and effective. Yep, and I got a quote here from, this is from Penn State again. They say the messages that transitioned the target from a positive to a negative on climate change to emphasize the loss were the most convincing and effective regarding environmental policies when delivered by virtual reality media. Now, the flip side to this, they found when you are delivering a message by standard video media, the response was in favor of climate change when they started with a hope-filled message regarding the negative elements of climate change, and then they transitioned to a positive outcome. Here's some quotes from Penn. They said, our findings of this study is that in terms of seeking support for climate change policies, it is the combination of the medium used and the message that will determine the most effective solution for promoting a particular advocacy message. They go on to say consumers are much more emotionally vulnerable and more likely to be influenced by virtual reality presentation, especially if the message focuses on a loss, end of quote. So they're creating an illusion with regards to the virtual reality media. They showed healthy and unhealthy coral. And they accomplished this by using light and dark ambient lighting along with upbeat and happy and sad audio. So the research report stated the reason they selected coral reefs to depict their climate change message was the coral is an endangered species, and also it is far removed from people's daily life experiences. So according to Wildlife in the Balance, they report that most people would not know what healthy coral reef looks like and that the reefs are really resilient to climate change. What coral does not like are tropical storms, which make it difficult for the reef to rebuild even over a 50-year time period. Now, according to Wildlife in the Balance, they also said the increasing regularity and intensity of cyclones has seen many glorious reef systems decline. So pollution is the other detrimental force to the food system that coral reefs need. So, you know, for their survival and for thousands of years, really, temperature changes haven't been an issue, but, you know, pollution can affect their food source. Now, perhaps maybe we should ask how the coral survived the ice age when the woolly mammoths walked around. So why is this deception when it comes to using coral to argue the climate change agenda? Well, the Penn State research team answered that. They said this. It is hard to communicate environmental issues to non-scientists because the consequences are usually long-term and not easily foreseeable, end of quote. What a very nice way of saying the public is not educated when it comes to science and the environment, and therefore whatever we make up will be believed. So the recommendation and the actions of governments to reduce or remove, let's say, your cattle, your chicken, your pork industries in order to control climate change is just as misleading as the coral story. So animals and the planet have survived for thousands of years in harmony together. Their researchers would really not use animal food industries as an example because the loss would reveal, hey, there's not going to be any more human animal foods. So this mass, you know, the masses won't get behind that, you know, because they can't have a hamburger. So, but showing damaged coral after a hurricane might just get somebody motivated, see. Also, they talked about low cognitive barrier. And low cognitive barrier is a term that a lot of people may not understand. So let's just see what we found out about that. The research is reporting that people with low cognitive barriers often gravitate to your virtual reality messages. This includes the following people, they said. Those with attention deficit issues, the elderly, the illiterate, and children. Penn goes on to say, not only is virtual reality an attention-grabbing media, it also is called the empathy machine. It helps to generate better empathy for the message being presented, and it is more effective at arousing emotions such as fear rather than hope. So, yeah, if somebody wants to scare you, they'll probably be leaning on the virtual reality. Now, this suggests, you know, the basic instinct of fear is more easily communicated rather than trying to get the audience to reason a message regarding the consequences of actions or inaction. Therefore, for political agendas, virtual reality will be the media of choice. This is a quote from Miguel Leo, mass communications at Penn State, who says, our study suggests that showing stark portrayals of environmental loss can be persuasive in spurring people into action to support climate change issues, regardless of their pre-existing worldviews. So there is also the likelihood, though, that artificial intelligence will be crafting most of your media marketing moving forward. So having the knowledge of big data at its disposal, it can easily manipulate market segments with various techniques. What'd you say, Frank? Yeah, I know. It's sort of like, you know, going into a courtroom and they're not going to tell you what your rights are if you don't know what they are. They're not going to volunteer that information. All right, so we want you to be aware. So the virtual reality media takes kind of brainwashing to a new level. So now that you know the difference in the media delivery and the message technique, you can be on guard and not be played. So this is why history can be so important, because if you take the historical record away, it's much easier to control the future. So the field of medicine is really no different. Attempts to disparage natural therapies improves the chances of modern medicine to convince people, hey, there's no other option. Have you investigated or even tried the other options? So you'll be surprised at the benefits and level of wellness those other options can offer. If you want to know more, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They can send you a free product catalog. And they deal with their segment of immune support, metabolic support, and toxin removal type products. So you'll be empowered if you want to give them a call at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., dial 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. Visit them online, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. Right now they're in their spring sale, and you can save 20%, so you can pick up some of their allergy formulas if you got allergy issues. But you want to hurry because the sale will end on the 24th of March. Online, use coupon code SPRING24. You can use that over the phone or put it on your order form if you're mailing it in. So you'll find a lot of effective options for allergy season up there at thepowerherbs.com. And it'll be empowering. You want to use the prescription stuff and healthier for you, for sure. If you're on the website, they did add a new blog area. So they'll be adding to that. But there's some things up there now that you may find very helpful in guiding you in your wellness or attempt to be well. Check that out. Also, they have online newsletters that you can sign up for, and they're absolutely free. So you can subscribe by going to the Power Herbs, click on Books and Newsletters, and you can sign up for either the American Survival or the Health Quest newsletter that go out each week. But you have to have email to receive those, so they are not snail-mailed. So go to the Power Herbs and do that and be empowered every week. All right, so we have some issues we're going to be talking about since we're talking about viruses and pandemics there for a little bit. I thought we would talk about how we can maybe decrease our risk if the next pandemic should show up, which we're told may be showing up within the next 18 months. So we're going to talk about decreasing the likelihood of getting sick with viruses. And when a deadly strain of a disease comes along, what can increase or even decrease your chances of surviving an infection? Well, this question was answered really by scientists and doctors associated with the China coronavirus epidemic. Normally, our immune system is capable of defending the body from deadly strains of infections. However, where weakness resides in the body, it will undermine those efforts of recovery. So we're going to take a look at what these scientists found after analyzing the data, especially on patients who did get infected with the virus. And we can plug this into our lifestyle and maybe be a step ahead. So let's look at the health statistics, because as usual, the scientists were reporting that if patients had underlying health issues, it increased the risk of mortality. They reported that the age played a factor, as well as if they had already been infected with something. So older patients tend to have metabolic health disorders that can affect their outcome. So the physicians have compiled a list of the types of patients that would tend to fall into a category of getting a poor diagnosis or higher mortality risk early on when they are diagnosed with a viral disease. Here is the list of conditions. It's nowhere complete, but here's a list. If you have a history of blood clots, sepsis, blood poisoning issues, diabetes, heart disease, chronic respiratory diseases, the COPD, emphysema, that kind of stuff, high blood pressure, cancer, inflammatory conditions, which is broad. I mean, that could be, anything from inflamed skin like psoriasis and eczema to, gout and arthritis. Also, kidney or liver failure can also be on this list. So there is also the risk of contracting hospital-borne infections, which will complicate a recovery. So if that appears to be the case, medicine is ranking patients as they arrive and then calculate their survival rate. Now, according to the analysis, the small sample of scientists used less than 200 patients, 29% of the patients were deemed to fall into the poor prognosis category. So notice that they're saying, okay, you're coming to the hospital, FYI, you probably get a hospital-borne disease, so that's going to make it worse for you. Now, the coronavirus did tend to exploit people with a history of chronic diseases, respiratory disease by 50% higher risk, blood poisoning or sepsis 58% higher risk, and secondary infections 50% risk. So the research from the China that got published in March of 2020, the Lancet Journal, of course, we're taken with this grain of salt, but, put this stuff in the back of your mind. Chinese scientists reported that they found that an infected person would shed the virus to infect others for an average of 20 days. And we found out it was longer than that, didn't we? So we're told that the long shed times signifies the severity of the pathogen. Now, typical influenza has a shed time of 14 days, and this coronavirus or COVID-19 seems to produce they say low sputum collection and overall lack of generic material to analyze from the patients, which means how do you even identify it as a coronavirus in the patient? So how do they determine if a patient has severe pneumonia or even a flu-like pathogen or the COVID-19. Not all patients develop the same symptoms, and medicine tends to swab the nose and throat for sputum, take blood, test it. Samples are also taken to the labs. Other signs are also written down. They code the patient, you know, to see if they have a RNA, mRNA issue. So, I have to mention that, you know, that incubation period of 14 days for your viruses, like your standard flu, you know, you heard this since you were a kid. The doctor would tell you, you know, you got the flu, you know, your incubation period is about a week to 10 to 14 days. So you probably were around somebody, in that time frame, and, you got the flu. So, let's go on here. Some of the symptoms, as you know, were flu-like, as well, with the COVID-19. And, the patient profile was this. According to some of the scientists' report, 62 to 82% were males. Makes you wonder if they coded this sucker to, affect more men than women. Or an age group of men. And we found that out with the cardio issue. Average age was 56 in the male category. Chronic underlying health conditions made things worse by 50%. Common condition was hypertension and diabetes. Those are the two underlying conditions that really didn't help them. Average time from disease onset to discharge from the hospital was 22 days. Average time of death from the virus, 18 and a half days. Mortality cases from the virus were from older patients with high scores of organ failure. Assessments and lower lymphocytes, which is your white blood cells, your antibodies. But, you know, they built on all this data since 2020, and you probably have heard it over and over again. So basically the antiviral medications, not all that great. All their therapeutic regimens were not all that great. So what does this mean moving forward? Well, make sure your immune system is strong, and really remove from your lifestyle the things that undermine immunity. Some of the things that undermine immunity is lack of sleep, not getting adequate sleep, sugar, refined sugar, antibiotics, which suppress immune system function. So those are the three big ones. Malnutrition is up there too. And if you got underlying health conditions, you know, this would be the time to figure out how you're going to get at the cause of those conditions instead of continue to take drugs to manage your symptom of disease, which is huge, huge. The outcomes are huge. And we're going to talk about that when we come right back from this break.
Bumble and the Stingers, Martha Hooper, Rachel Singers, Lonnie Mack, Twang and Eddie, Hisman Ring, we're going steady, take it easy, take me high, lie, lie, house of fire, no commotion, poker, fashion, deeper purple satisfaction, baby, baby, got it, give me, getting hot, Sammy's cooking, Leslie Gore, Richie Valens, end of story, my Vista Fuji, I'm a Kamasutra, Rama Lama, Richard Perry, Spectre Barry, Rogers, Archer, Nielsen, Harry, Shimmy, Jimmy, Coco, Pop, it, Fats, back, and finger, Pop, it,
pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need apothecary herbs.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand. Have a plan. Have peace and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Talking about our viruses and how we can, protect ourselves from another viral attack. Well, again, watch that immune system. I would find ways to, if I have underlying health conditions, to reverse them. And people aren't taught that they can be reversed, but it does take work to reverse them, and it takes lifestyle changes. And I would suggest people do that because if you come into another pandemic situation, you won't be as vulnerable. So people say, why do you do that? Well, if you need a little hand-holding, probably a really good naturopath, because these are the guys that went to natural healing schools. These are the guys that were physicians before the 1940 era, okay, before we got petrochemical stuff and the AMA. So these are the guys that prescribe diet and supplements. That's what they do. And they help the body heal itself. Awesome stuff. So if you don't have a naturopath, I would say look for one, and get on that, quest of wellness, because I would just dread to have like kidney disease or cardio issues and, have to face the music there, especially if they have rationing of meds down the road. That's a real problem also. So immune support herbs are very good too, so don't neglect to look into that. A lot of your echinaceas, astragalus roots, garlics, ginger is good for inflammation issues. So you got lots of things that you can investigate there, and use. So, The thing that I like about herbs is they help you get over a flu and influenza in a day or so. People go, what? Yeah, you don't have to be sick a week, 5 days. You know, I always do my protocols and I'm over it usually in a couple of days. So you work with your system, your immunity, which means your immune system, you don't want to suppress it with aspirin and Tylenol because that shuts off a fever, and a fever is part of the immune response. A fever means your antibodies have been launched. And if you just shut off the fever because the antibodies are temperature specific, of course, nobody teaches people. Pediatricians don't tell you this. Doctors don't tell you this. Turn off the fever, you turn off your immune system. Sicker longer. You may be more comfortable. You don't have the fever and the achy feeling, but you're going to be sick a long time. So a lot of warm baths. Couple baths a day to lift that achy fever, helps you out. Lots of liquids. You keep the fever wet. You drink lots of fluids to flush the virus out. And usually eat light. You just don't eat a lot of heavy stuff, and no caffeine dehydrates you too much. No Cokes, you know, no coffee and tea. You can have herb teas, water, juice, but you want to flush that virus out. Some of my favorite herbs to use for influenzas is I like to use echinaceas, astragalus root, and ginseng. If you got a lot of congestion in the nasal area, then I may even add a sinus formula like Echinacea Deluxe. So yeah, and lots of, you know, grandma's chicken noodle soup. Yeah, that's good. All right, we're going to shift and we're going to talk about some dealing with some tension because people are really tense. And I hear it all the time. And you have to wonder, if you are tense, if you're stressed, some people go, well, am I depressed? Well, some people have difficulty distinguishing what they're experiencing. And sometimes it can be anxiety or stress that is causing them to feel tense and depressed. So either way, hormones take a hit. Our bodies are, you know, get out of balance. Our concentration, our energy is affected, our sleep. So tension and stress tend to overload us and put us in a category of increased risk of getting illnesses or even diseases. Now, according to Kansas State University, we react to stress triggers between 50 to 200 times a day. And they are, well, they may not all be red alerts, but they still have you react biologically to at a certain level. So we're going to take a look at stresses, tension levels, see if we can diffuse them, manage our stress a little better. Well, let's look at the low-level tension triggers, because this is research from the Kansas State University folks. They listed some of the low-level tension triggers that we tend to encounter on a daily basis, like waiting in long lines. We get impatient. Traffic can, you know, get on our nerves. Being on hold too long, you know, not feeling like you're appreciated, and not being connected with a live person. That really frosts me, the phone tree thing. But I have to just take a breath. Can't find your car keys is on the list, as well as spilling something on your work clothes. And you have to do a presentation. Well, something you must have maybe is out of stock. You know, it's time sensitive too. So maybe you can't find a parking space, and you're late for an appointment. All these things are low-level stress triggers, and these are stressors, but most of us realize that these are not, you know, the hills we want to die on. It's not the end of the world. It's not a deal breaker. So we're told that when our muscles tense up, it normally takes an average of 20 minutes for them to completely relax again. However, the problem comes in on a metabolic level when there is not enough time between these stressors, these triggers, for those muscles to relax. There's no break. So therefore, tension can tend to build up. And we need to develop better coping mechanisms so that everyday hassles like this don't impact our body in such negative ways and put us more at risk of being sick. All right, so let's talk about tension tightness, because life can make us tense, and sometimes stress and tension can be self-generating. So we overload ourselves in our work schedule and other obligations. So we need to budget our time better. Sometimes it's our personality that may be clashing with someone in the work force or at home, it causes tension. For instance, if you tend to have an attitude of my way or the highway, this can cause a little friction with other people. And people may, you know, talk negatively about you, and this can even cause more stress if you hear about it. Other factors that cause us to become tense and stressful are hectic schedules with work or school, our finances, unexpected life changes, relationship problems, and family demands. So all these things can be a real burden, and we have to learn to manage and diffuse tension. Well, some of the risks. Too much tension will increase the risk of a heart disease, heart attack, stroke, digestive problems, insomnia, weight gain, immune system problems, inflammatory issues and conditions, and even open us up to the risk of depression. So how do you know if you're in trouble, if you're carrying around a lot of tension and stress? Well, some emotional symptoms that we can be aware of are going to be, you know, are you a bit moody? Things setting you off a little bit? How about if you're irritable, your temper's flaring, unable to relax, you know, can't seem to just go into your zen mode. How about you're feeling overwhelmed? Yeah, a lot of people feel that way these days. Maybe you're feeling lonely, or you're just generally unhappy and feeling a little depressed. How about memory or concentration problems? That can also be a signal, as well as having poor judgment or being more pessimistic or having constant worry or anxiousness. These are all kind of little signals that you're kind of under a lot of stress and it may be building up. You also want to be aware of some physical symptoms that tension and stress can bring on, aches and pains, digestive problems like diarrhea or constipation, nausea, dizziness, rapid heartbeat or chest pains, loss of sex drive, frequent colds or flu bugs, change in your appetite, change in your sleeping, isolating yourself, you just don't want to get involved with activities, or how about you're procrastinating, and maybe you're abusing alcohol, tobacco, or other drugs. Nervous habits like nail biting, pacing. How about headaches? Could all be an indicator. Now let's look at the cardiac area, because some people are what are referred to as cardiac reactors. So they react to stress with cardiac symptoms of high blood pressure. So experiencing these 100 times a day is a lot of pressure on their heart. Other people show digestive symptoms, and their body will dump more acid into the stomach, and then they get ulcers. Others may experience a suppressed immune system. They get sick a lot. So these are all reactors that we have to be mindful of, how our body's reacting. Looks like the headache element, because often tension and stress can cause headaches. And if the headaches manifest, you can get a migraine, a vascular headache, and it often occurs on a weekend after the stress has passed. So some of the triggers for migraines, usually it's on one side of the head you get this. It could be smells. It could be sounds, light. There's all kinds, along with your stress. All right, let's look at the anxiety, because anxiety brings muscle tension. So if you are tense enough, you could experience anxiety muscle tension. And this can produce pain severe enough that the doctors start prescribing drugs. So people with anxiety muscle tension experience muscle spasms, twitching, or what feels like a clamping up of the muscles causing pain. Now, extreme cases, people have become bedridden with the cramps and the pain. So patients with this problem often state that the pain remains even when they're trying to relax and go to sleep. So after they get to sleep, the pain resumes when they wake up. So this condition can attack any muscle of the body, including face, mouth, head, stomach, groin, you name it. So this can cause really tight, sore, painful muscles, draining the energy out of the person. So this tension can consistently attack certain areas or move to other areas, and the pain is fairly consistent. So the attacks usually follow an event causing a lot of anxiety and a nervous episode, fear, elevated stress, an imbalance in the hormones, all causing these mood shifts. So I would suggest if this is you're in this category, don't watch virtual reality, because obviously they use fear to get their message across. Headaches will often be also accompanied with anxiety and muscle tension. So you can get those muscles in the back of your neck that get real tense and tight, and it can also impede the blood flow to your head, and that's where you feel a little lightheaded. So be sensitive to your position, your posture, because often when we are stressed and tense, we don't realize that we can manifest certain physical behaviors like clenching our teeth, or clenching our fists, dragging our feet, rubbing our hands together. It's more of a comfort mechanism. Some people will put rubber bands on their wrists and they'll start snapping the rubber bands as, you know, kind of a mechanism to deal with their stress load. Now, if you are conscientious of this, you can shift your focus into something else to diminish your tension and your stress, and this helps to dissolve the surface tension and release more energy to your body. So if you realize you are showing signs of tension, a little deep breathing, mind-relaxing thoughts, you know, move your shoulders around in a circle to release the tension in the shoulder area. Other people will do stretching exercises to take their mind off the stress triggers, which is also a good thing. So there's some ways you can to calm down. So we can find some ways to derail the tension, even depression and anxiety, without using medicines, staying engaged, for instance, in other people and resisting the urge to become, you know, kind of a hermit. So you want to stay social. And studies have suggested that when we're looking at other people's faces and having a conversation, that helps calm the brain down through the sensory receptors that it's using. So your focus on a person and what they are saying can help stop you from worrying about other things. Therefore, staying socially engaged is one way of dealing with your overwhelming tension and anxiety. And the second suggestion is to keep moving and be as mobile as possible. So exercise, for example, will help with the neurotransmitters in the brain and other help with other more energy levels to the body. A lot of people that exercise on a daily basis just have higher energy levels. You will still be more perky. Your immune system will be better at high level, more resistant to infections, and you'll keep your blood pressure lower. Now, guard against the urge to be immobile. Don't crawl into the bed and stay there. So this is going to add to your body trauma if you do that, tension, depression, anxiety. So your mind will tend to focus on feeling stuck, and this can bring on other emotions that may not be healthy for you, like anger, bitterness, and grief. So emotions such as these can cause a lot of physical symptoms, aches and pains. And by the way, if it's too constant all the time, you know, it can change your brain. You know, you got to guard against, you know, these really bad changes. Negative thoughts and negative things can change the chemistry of your brain. All right, so we're going to have a proactive approach. Aside from being more social and getting regular exercise, your diet is extremely important, as foods often can trigger emotions, setting off a stress point. So research has suggested that processed foods contribute more to hormone imbalances that can affect your mood. So let's avoid those. And highly refined foods and the sugary snacks make the tension, the stress, the anxiety condition worse. So if you're stressed out, let's not eat donuts. Now, on the other hand, the omega-3 rich foods, your salmon, your olive oil, your coconut oils, along with your fruits and vegetables, tend to help calm down a tension and anxiety condition. This is also beneficial to, you know, think positive, learn a new joke every day, and as the condition improves, it will be easier for you to get better sleep and keep your exercise routine as your nervous system starts to get healthy. And there are some herbs that can help, yes, yes, yes. Some of the herbs I like to use for tension relief and anxiety relief. I like to use valerian roots, one of my favorites. I like it in a liquid form rather than pill form. So I like to use that. I like to use lobelia, which takes tension out of muscles. So valerian will take tension out of the nervous system, and lobelia takes it out of the muscles. So those two together can be used at the same time because they work on separate systems. So those are wonderful herbs to have. If you're looking for those herbs in a liquid form, in a good professional concentration, then the folks at Apothecary Herbs have a section for depression, anxiety, panic attack, and those formulas are there. You'll find the lobelia is labeled relaxation formula to help relax muscles. And by the way, if you tend to have muscle spasms, charley horses or the like, the lobelia is excellent for melting the knot right out of that muscle in seconds. The liquids go to work right away. That's why I like them. 60 seconds, they're in the blood system. Bam. So you can really have an effective reaction very quickly with their herbal liquids. Now, some of the other things I like to use for stress issues, because we're talking about neurological systems here, your brain, your emotions and things, all chemically related. And so I like to use plants that have B vitamins in them, B complex, B12, B6, B2, you name it, it's there. I like to use the spirulina and the chlorella, as well as the nutritional yeast. And this is not a yeast that gives you candida. It's not used in baking for, leavening, a loaf of bread. So I like to use those three together. Those three are also included in a product full of vitamins and minerals from plants. It's certified organic, and it's called Body Foundation Food Mix. So it's a powder, and you just make a smoothie with it, or you can just stir it into any juice or water. And that is really great for the nervous system. It helps you deal with stress in a so much better way. So you won't have, the immune system pinging off, and you won't have accumulated stress loads. So really, nutrition is a way to deal, as well as lifestyle changes. You want to avoid those triggers as much as you can. You want to, again, avoid the white refined sugar because it will lower immune system, and you'd be more vulnerable to getting sick. So when you're stressed out, you're more vulnerable to getting sick. So whole food nutrition, the body as a whole, and certain areas affect other areas. That's why I was saying a naturopath looks at the body as a whole. They're not isolated medicine like the AMA people are. They're not, bone people, digestive people, brain people, They're holistic, and they look at the whole system. So if you're needing help with any condition that's chronic and you're on drug therapy for life, I would definitely go see a naturopath and be better. I mean, really better, because the definition of cure is to put you back in your original wellness. If you're not in your original wellness and you're taking a bunch of prescription drugs, then you're not cured of anything. You're in a symptom management program. Yeah. Yeah, so. And those medications long-term, as you probably have figured out, not good. All right, so we're going to talk. We got a few minutes. How much time we got there, Frank? Oh, we had a few minutes. We're going to talk about some statistics regarding our medications that people are on. According to the CDC, in the United States, 48.7% of Americans take at least one prescription drug. And those stats dropped to 21.8% when you're taking three drugs, and then 10.7% if someone's taking five or more drugs. So the three classifications with your drug companies, they sell the most drugs are in your painkiller category, the analgesics, the cholesterol-lowering, statin drug stuff, and your antidepressants. These are all topics we've been talking about. So it's really interesting that these three drug categories are the top of the pill-popping heap. It is not by accident. It's by design. So painkillers will make patients addicted to the drug in a skinny minute, if patients are really not careful. Cholesterol drugs on a cellular level make your cells fall apart, so you're going to have congestive heart failure in about 10 years. And this leads to a myriad of health issues. And then your antidepressants can alter behavior, putting patients and others at severe risk. So are these three categories of drugs working to cure people, or are they doing what they are designed to do and create patients for life? So what a majority of people are figuring out is that there's this double-edged sword with allopathic treatments. May get rid of your original complaint, but it gives you another one. And the other one's not pretty. Typically, it's not pretty. Here's a quote from Julia Holmes. She's with Analytic Studies, CDC, National Center for Health Statistics. She said, it isn't the case with all forms of medical technology, but there is always the potential for inappropriate use. There's lots of government reports. Anne Burns, a vice president of American Pharmacists, she says, if 1 in 10 Americans is taking 5 or more drugs, this raises concerns about potential drug interactions. Yeah, there's a lot of drug interactions. Once you're on one drug and then you add another, they don't know what those interactions are going to be if you're on 2 drugs. They just don't. They really don't. And here's one study that says, this is research out of Oregon State University. They looked at several large clinical trials paid for by the U.S. National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. They said the public is clamoring for more transparency regarding scientific ethics and more probes into the clinical data being carried out. And the research team looked at 55 studies in which 30 were published before more regulatory, actually, safeguards were in place. And 25 were published after the fact. So looking at the studies that got published after the stiffer regulations were active, the team discovered only 2 studies had any positive outcomes. So in the group of 30 studies that were published before the stiffer regulations, 17 were reported as having positive outcomes. When you got the stiffer regulations on board to try to prevent the altering of data, making the study outcome look better than it was, well, this changed things, right? You had less studies qualifying and less drugs qualifying. Here is, this is from Medical Pharmacology Text. They say this, relatively few doctors ever report adverse drug reactions to the FDA, and the reasons range from not knowing such a reporting system exists to fear of being sued. They don't know it exists, really. They know it exists. Please don't tell me that. So there's more data here, but we are running out of time. So I would say, if you're tired of being sick and tired, then I would change the plan. Nothing's going to change unless you make a change. I would see a naturopath, and they can run tests. They can order tests. Their doctors, they're licensed. But they prescribe natural things. Your medical insurance probably will cover the medical tests. The office visits, don't know. You have to check with your carrier. But, if you want to get to the bottom of why you're sick, that's the way to do it. Especially if you got more than one underlying condition. If you're quite complicated, you're going to need a naturopath. I'm out of time. Don't forget the folks at Apothecary Herbs are having their spring sale. You'll save 20% through the 24th. Restrictions apply, so give them a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. While the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.